Great Hind Cohelith Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, we're going to be talking about the heart and the changes that we need to make in order to be acceptable unto Yahweh. But before I actually cover the scriptures that I want to cover pertaining to the heart, I want to cover some scriptures pertaining to Yahweh and how he's going to actually change the heart, what Yahweh's will is. So if you open up to 2 Kefa chapter 3, let's start off with 2 Kefa chapter 3, which is on page 963. Okay, so I want to lay down a little bit of groundwork here, a little bit of foundation, so that we can see what we need to do so that Yahweh will be pleased with us in our actions. And so this first scripture is something that we need to consider. We need to consider these things so that we can start making the necessary changes in our complete conversion to the will of Yahweh, to the plan of Yahweh, to be a part of this eternal administration. In second Kefa chapter 3, let's look at verse 10. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And so we know this. We can see these things taking place in these last days. We can see it building up to this great day of Yahweh. And look at verse 11. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and righteousness? So what Father Yahweh is saying here, what kind of a person should you be knowing what you know? Okay, consider that. What kind of a person should you be knowing what you know? What's being taught here at Yahweh's great house? How should we be conducting ourselves in the house of Yahweh? And look at verse 12. You must look for and earnestly long for the day of Yahweh. Okay, knowing that once this takes place, that Yahweh is going to turn all the kingdoms of the world over to the saints of Yahweh. Now, in the house of Yahweh is training us for this, but we have to be right with Yahweh in all things. Okay, look at verse 9. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you see the mercy of Yahweh here? Because these things could have taken place many, many, many years ago. But he's allowing us to continue to be able to repent and to come to this full knowledge of the truth. And that's the will of Yahweh. Let's take a look at Yekeskiah chapter 18. Because I really want this to be firmly established in our minds, the fact that we do have a little bit of time left. And I'm not saying we have a lot of time, but I'm saying as long as we have another day, it's given us the opportunity to completely change our hearts and our minds to be focused on Yahweh, allowing Yahweh to inspire us, to guide us in every decision that we make, meaning we have to choose to do what we're being taught to do, following righteousness. Okay, in Yekeskiah chapter 18, if you look at verse 23, it says, do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says Father Yahweh? No, rather that the wicked would turn back from his wicked ways and live. Okay, turn from your wicked ways and live. Now, verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him who dies, says Father Yahweh. Therefore, turn and live. So the only way that we can turn and live is if we have someone present us with the information that we need in order to have life. Because who here had the opportunity for salvation before the house of Yahweh? Not a one. Okay, not one of us. But through the mercy of Yahweh, through the great plan of Yahweh, he established his house in these last days and placed a teacher of righteousness over it to reestablish righteousness on the earth. Okay, in one of the booklets, I think it was the reestablishment or the house of Yahweh reestablished. One of the ways that Pastor wrote this was the restoration of righteousness. Okay, the restoration of righteousness is why the house of Yahweh was established, to restore righteousness in the earth. And that's Pastor's job, to bring forth this information to call people from all over the world to have an opportunity for life eternal. Okay, that's his job. Now let's take another look at Pastor here. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 5. And then we'll actually start getting into the changing of the heart. Zechariah chapter 5, that's on page, I didn't write down the page number. I love when I do that. It's on page 719. Okay, 719. And let's look at verse 6. And I asked, what is it? And he answered, this is the ephah. the standard of perfection which is sent by Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, and understanding throughout the earth. Okay, so this is what's being sent through the laws of Yahweh. Okay, this knowledge, this understanding of what? Of who? This knowledge and understanding of Yahweh. Okay, because this is what we have to understand, that without Yahweh's character, we will not have life. Okay, without Yahweh's character, we will not have life. And so this is what Pastor has been teaching us from day one, how to develop Yahweh's character so that we can know how to make right choices, which will not cause harm to ourselves or to others. Look at chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice and will see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, and the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh will go throughout the whole earth. So this is Pastor's job, to teach the way of Yahweh. Remember, we can continue reading here, but we're not. But it shows that the job of the witness, or the witnesses, is to separate the way of Yahweh from the way of the world, because the way of the world teaches death. Okay, the way of the world, the end result of it, are the ways which leads to Sheol, the grave. Okay, so Pastor has an awesome job here to try to teach the way of Yahweh, this great knowledge of Yahweh, so that it will change our hearts and our minds. And that's not an easy thing to do, to change the heart and the mind of a person. Okay, and for those of us who's been here at least one day, some of us have been here for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and we're still learning how to change our thoughts. We're still learning how to change the things that we allow to enter into our heart. So it's not an easy process. Now let's take a look at Genesis chapter 6. And because there's something that's in opposition to Yahweh, you know, fighting against our high priest who's inspiring this house, something that's fighting against Pastor as he's continuing to try to bring forth this knowledge, this understanding of Yahweh. Genesis chapter 6 is on page 5. Okay, and this is what's fighting against Yahweh. This is what's fighting against Pastor. In verse 5, then Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. So you see what he's fighting against? The thoughts of our hearts. Okay? Look at Yeremiah chapter 17 on page 587. And I'm sorry if I'm going fast. I have a lot of scriptures that I want to cover here. But on page 587, if you look at Yeremiah chapter 17, so we just read how the thoughts and the intent of man's heart were evil continuously. Father Yahweh inspired Yeremiah to write this in verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, this is speaking to everyone who has a heart. Okay, our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. But Yahweh says, I Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, so there's things that we can do, but we have to first understand that our heart is desperately wicked. It's very deceitful. You know, the scriptures even says in Proverbs that, you know, a man who trusts in his heart is a fool. Okay, do we understand that? A man that puts his trust in his heart is a fool. So what does that leave us with? It leaves us with trusting in Yahweh. Is there any other option? We have to put our trust in Yahweh, not in our own hearts, or we will be deceived. Okay, the priesthood, we're not allowed to judge based on emotions. Okay, and this is not the first time that we heard this. We have to judge according to the standard of perfection, which is given to us in Yahweh's laws. That's how we to judge. That's how we are to judge a matter, not based on how we feel. Okay, based on the laws of Yahweh. So this is what fighting against Yahweh, our hearts, our thoughts. Okay, so we have to learn how to change these thoughts. We have to learn how to start rearranging the way that we conduct ourselves. And guess what Yahweh has done for us in these last days? He's given us what? Yeah, he gave us a teacher. But what program do we have in these last days that actually allow us to figure out how to change the way that we think? Y'all not with me on this? Praise Yahweh, the peaceful solution. Okay, remember, he's given us the peaceful solution so that we can learn how to conduct ourselves in righteousness. Because how would we have known that our thoughts led to feelings, our feelings led to actions, and actions lead to consequences or rewards? No, when we think about it, after we were taught, we see, oh yeah, that is the process. But we didn't actually think about it until it was pointed out to us, right? And now we recognize the process to which we, you know, base our actions on. Okay, so we're going to take a look at some examples here of how this process has been proven by Yahweh, how thoughts does lead to feelings, feelings lead to actions, and actions does lead to consequences or rewards. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. And this is this should be well known to everyone here. We're about to deal with we're about to take a look at Pharaoh and the children of Israel when they were being prepared to leave Egypt. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3. Well, actually, let's look at verse 2. It says, "You are to speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother is to tell Pharaoh that he must let the children of Israel go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, even though I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Pharaoh, in the land of Egypt." So earlier I read several scriptures pertaining to the will of Yahweh, how it's not Yahweh's will that any should perish, but even that the wicked will turn and choose righteousness. So when we read, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart," we have to know Yahweh. We have to know that Yahweh is not purposely, you know, making someone choose evil in order to do certain things. You know, what Yahweh is saying here, you know, what Yahweh is saying here is that, you know, people's heart will be hardened to the way of Yahweh. They don't want to submit to Yahweh. Instead, they're going to fight against Yahweh, which is what we did before we came to the house of Yahweh. And in some aspects, we're still fighting or wrestling against Yahweh, against the Malak of Yahweh. But this is what he's saying here. There's going to be things that Pharaoh will see pertaining to the way of Yahweh that he just don't want to be a part of. And so he's fighting against Yahweh. It's not Yahweh making him choose to resist his will. And so Father Yahweh goes on and he says that Pharaoh will not listen to you. Okay, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. So no matter what you preach in righteousness, no matter what you say, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you. Okay, because why? His heart is hardened. Okay, that word hardens means it means unyielding, not willing to submit. And that's how Pharaoh was. And he was a king of Egypt. Okay, and he was a teacher of Egypt. So many people followed his example. Okay, so let's just cover a couple things here. Let's look at verse on the next page here, let's look at verse 13. Okay, it says that, well, I'm not going to cover all of these examples, but you remember the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt because of the rebellion that Egypt had towards the children of Israel and Egypt not letting Israel go. But in 13 it says, "Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as Yahweh had said." In every example, after every plague, the same thing took place. Pharaoh hardened his heart towards the ministers of Yahweh, and he would not listen to them, no matter what they said or no matter what judgment or act of power that Yahweh displayed. Pharaoh wouldn't listen to Yahweh. You know, remember in Eob, in the book of Eob, it's written that that Yahweh may appear to a man in one way or another through sayings, through warnings, but a man may not perceive it. He may not understand what Yahweh is trying to get across. And that's the way that it is. You know, sometimes we don't understand how Yahweh is trying to deal with us, but he's made it really simple for us in this time period. All we have to do is listen to the voice of Yahweh, listen to the one sent, and then we'll see this change within ourselves so that we are submitted and submissive to Yahweh, acceptable to Yahweh. But again, remember what's going on here. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He does not want to yield to Yahweh. So at the end of this situation here, look at chapter 14, which is on page 56. And this is after everything took place, the death of the firstborn of Israel, the skies, the stone, the hail and the fire, the gnats, the frogs, the boils, the animals dying. All of these things took place. And then Pharaoh finally said, "Okay, y'all get out of here. Okay, get out of here." And so the children of Israel left. But here's this: thoughts leading to feelings, feelings leading to actions, and actions leading to consequences or reward. In chapter 14, verse 4, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am Yahweh." And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told, the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his officials were turned against the people, they then said, "Why have we done this, letting Israel go from serving us?" So you see the thought process. Why did we let them go? No, why did we let them go? We didn't have to let them go. We could have kept them in servitude. So they're dwelling on this to the point where they loaded up Okay, they got all of their chariots, like I think it was 600 chariots. You can read the rest of it and see what took place, but they took the armies and they went after the children of Israel. Okay, because they allowed their thoughts to lead to certain feelings. You know, maybe it was anger, maybe it was pride, bitterness, regret, whatever it was, they chose to pursue the children of Israel. They chose to chase after righteousness, not to be a part of it, but to try to put it back in bondage, or maybe to even put it to death. But that was a choice that they made. And the end result, because of those thoughts and feelings and those actions, led to their death. Because they chased the children of Israel, and when they went into the sea swallowed them up, and none survived. So you can see how Father Yahweh has proven this over and over again. Your thoughts will eventually lead to either life or death. Okay? Consequences are rewards. The reward for righteousness is life. Okay? The consequence of sin is death. And that's what it boils down to. And so this unyielding heart that's not willing to submit to Yahweh will lead to death. Okay? And that's what's fighting against Yahweh. So now let's take a look at Yekeskiah chapter 11, because there has to be a change. There has to be a change. Yekeskiah chapter 11. Let's take a look at verse 19. Yekeskiah 11, verse 19 on page 633. And I will give to them one heart, and I will put a spirit of renewal within you. Okay, and so how do you get that spirit of renewal? Remember, Yahweh says, I will renew with them in the last days. I will renew with them my covenant. Okay, I will write my laws in their heart and in their minds. I will write them. Okay, this comes from the teaching of Yahweh's laws. This comes from a teacher of righteousness, bringing forth the information so that we can accept it. This is the only way that we're going to get rid of this heart of stone. It says, but I will give you the spirit of renewal within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from their body, and I will give them a heart of flesh. Okay, so he's going to chip away at this heart of stone, this unyielding, unwilling to submit attitude, and replace it with a heart of flesh. Okay, the ability to receive the word of Yahweh and the ability to make the necessary changes. But then what did he say to do with that heart? He says, circumcise your heart. Okay, circumcise your heart. And what does that mean? It means to spiritually purify yourselves. Okay, look it up. It means to spiritually purify yourselves. How do you do that? With the laws of Yahweh. Okay, with the laws of Yahweh. When we're given command to be cleansed with the laws of Yahweh as with water. Remember in Ephesians? How Yahshua is the head of the house, and he teaches us. He teaches husbands. He teaches the wives, the children, you know, through this process of headship. You know, he teaches all of us how to use the laws of Yahweh, not only to cleanse ourselves, but to pass it down from generation to generation, thus everyone becoming cleansed spiritually clean and holy and acceptable to Yahweh. It's a teaching process that starts from the top down. But what can stop this? This heart of stone. Okay, this heart of stone. But one way or the other, Yahweh is going to see your heart as a stone. Okay. Whoa. Didn't you just say we had to get rid of that heart of stone? Yes, that stone which represents being unyielding and not being submissive to Yahweh. But there's other stones that Yahweh needs to see within our hearts. Okay. The stones that are on the high priest's breastplate. Okay. Praise Yahweh. Okay. And those stones represent what we need to become. No, the righteous and the positive character traits that Yahweh himself possesses. Okay. The heart of stone, the unyielding, not willing to submit to Yahweh, is a stone which leads to death. But when you look at the stones that are on the breastplate, like the book of the law, okay, the book of the law, having the book of the law, okay, what does that represent? It means studying it, of course, and then educating yourself in the way of Yahweh, okay? What about the stone that represents healing, okay? Of course, you have to be caring, you have to be merciful, compassionate in order to have that character trait so that you can desire that all people will have health and abundant living. So all of these stones represent life. And that's what has to be within our heart. When Yahweh sees each and every one of us, he should be looking at the high priest's breastplate because of the things that we are doing. Okay, bringing forth life, being the ambassadors of life, because life is going to be placed within our care. We're going to be the guardians and the protectors of life. And that's what we have to become. And that's what Yahweh's preparing this house to do in these last days. You know, we're the end result of this 6,000-year plan of changing our hearts from what Pharaoh taught to what we are today, or what we're going to become. Because when Pharaoh was saying, you know, when his attitude was, let's go and kill the children of Israel, there was something going on with the children of Israel also. You know, matter of fact, before we continue, let's go back to Exodus 14. Because the children of Israel had a few issues that they had to deal with. And Moshe was a very righteous teacher, but he too was fighting against this heart of stone that Pharaoh had. In chapter 14 on page 56, look at verse 10. You know, when it says that Pharaoh approached the children of Israel, and as Pharaoh approached, the children of Israel looked up, and behold, there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. And they said to Moshe, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you done this to us by taking us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? So you see the gratitude of the children of Israel after they were led out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. Why did you do this to us? We told you to leave us alone. Okay, but what did Pharaoh say? Okay, hold your place there because we're going to turn back. But in Exodus chapter 5 on page 48 in verse 2, this is when Moshe and Aaron were dealing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should listen to him or that I should obey him? Okay, who is Yahweh that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh and I will not let Israel go. I don't know Yahweh. I'm not going to do what he says. Okay, I'm not going to submit to Yahweh. And the children of Israel had the same attitude. We told you to leave us alone. Stop teaching us the way of Yahweh. Okay, leave us alone. They were scared because they feared men rather than reverencing Yahweh. But remember King David when he was a young boy, when he served King Saul, you know, when Goliath was defiant to the armies of Yahweh, you know, David said, you know, your servant has fought both lion and bear. Okay, Yahweh delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the bear. This Philistine will be no different. Yahweh will save us. Okay, Yahweh will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. So why are we afraid? Okay, why are the children of Israel afraid? Why are we afraid? We shouldn't be afraid in these last days of nothing. You know, we have Yahweh on our side. Now listen to what Moshe tells the children of Israel right here, because this should actually encourage us, because this is what Pastor has been teaching us from day one. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you will see them again no more forever. Yahweh will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Okay, this is the protection of Yahweh. Okay, don't fear he who can destroy the body. Okay, reverence Yahweh. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Yahweh will deliver us from evil. Okay, praise Yahweh. We don't have to fear anything that man has to offer. We know that there's going to be nuclear war. Who's trembling in their boots right now? None of us. None of us are trembling in our boots, and we know what the outcome is going to be. But the world is in fear daily because they don't know the plan of Yahweh. They do not know Yahweh or the promises that Yahweh has to offer. But guess what? Like Yeshua said, these things have been given to you to know the great secrets of Yahweh. And we wouldn't know these things if we wouldn't submit to our teacher. But we have submitted to him, and that's why our understanding has increased in this time period, just like Yahweh said that it would. Now we need to continue to move forward because, you know, there's other things that we have to do to be ready to go out and to preach this message to the entire world, to be ready for Yahweh to allow the full completion of this plan, to become exactly like Yeshua. And I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. But turn over to Yochanan chapter 7, because we're going to look at, you know, this promise of what's actually going to be coming from us, you know, if we continue to be submissive to the laws of Yahweh. This is on page 823 in your books of Yahweh. Yochanan chapter 7, we'll start here in verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this about the Spirit, about Spirit Holy, whom those believing in him were to receive. For Spirit Holy was not yet given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Okay? And that's what's going to flow out of the hearts of those who truly put their heart or put their trust in Yahweh. Okay, being able to speak the word of Yahweh to the point where it will cause life to enter into someone else because they're going to choose to do what's being taught to them. Just like we're choosing to do what's being taught to us in this time period. Okay, and it's going to become, I really can't explain everything that's going to take place here. But Father Yahweh says that it hasn't even entered into the mind of man what he has in store. But we know that through our obedience that there's great things to come in the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, life itself is a wonderful gift. So it just gets better. It just gets better. Okay, now remember in Yochanan chapter 4. Let's turn to Yochanan chapter 4. I want to read one scripture here really quick. In chapter 4, verse 14, this is when he's dealing with the Samaritan woman. In 14, it says, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never become thirsty, for the water that I will give him will become in him like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Okay, all of us learning how to become teachers of righteousness, having the Spirit of Yahweh like coursing through us continually. Everything about Yahweh is going to be us, in us, guiding our every decision, our every thought. You know, to the point where when we open our mouths, there's nothing that's going to come from our mouths but the doctrine of life. Okay, not silly movies, not silly things that the world is partaking in right now, not music, none of these things, but the things that are actually going to cause a person to have abundant life. Okay, let's look over to Isaiah chapter 44, because as I was stating earlier, you know, this is the plan of Yahweh. Okay, this is the plan of Yahweh, that all of the wicked shall turn and have life. Okay, we have a high priest who did what he had to do when he was on earth to qualify for the position that he has right now at the right hand of Yahweh. And he's still working, guiding his house. Okay, and the man that he's dealing with in these last days is our pastor and overseer. And Yahweh says it is through Yisrael that he will be glorified. Okay, he will be the light to the nations. His voice is the voice that we're going to hear to come to the house of Yahweh and take these teachings to become like Yahweh. In chapter 44 of Isaiah, page 558, let's start at verse 1. Yet now, O Yaakov, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Yaakov, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Yisrael, whom I have appointed. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed, and we are the seed of Israel Hawkins, okay? He will pour out this water, this knowledge, this complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh upon us, okay? This is what he's pouring on us, this knowledge of Yahweh, and my blessing upon your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourse. Now, I do not have time to go into that, but please go back and reread the house of Yahweh established, because you will be amazed at how much we have forgotten since the last time that we have read that book based on that one scripture alone. You will be amazed at how much you've forgotten. And if you don't believe me, go back and read it. Okay? Go back and read it. I guarantee you, you will be amazed, because the word of Yahweh is timeless. Okay? It's timeless. And right now, we don't have the full use of our subconscious mind, so we forget. So go back and read it and refresh your memory of what Yahweh is doing with this house of Yahweh, with us in these last days. This is why Pastor's so excited, because he remembers. We forget, so we kind of get caught up in the day-to-day grind, and we tend to worry about things. But if you remember, if you keep Yahweh in the forefront of your memory, then you will rejoice always, longing for the day of Yahweh and longing to be a part of this great kingdom that's soon to be upon us. But in conclusion, I want to read one more scripture. Okay, so you can see here how Yeshua, his commission is to pour out this water of living, this living water upon us, in us. Pastor's job is to teach us so that this water can be poured out upon us, preparing us for this great, awesome gift of Yahweh. Okay, so I want to conclude here in Revelation chapter 17, because it's like a request. I have to find it. I think I wrote it down. Yes, okay. Revelation 22 and verse 17. It says, And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you'll all please stand, I turn the services over to the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Praise God. Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The pastor has been mentioning this, the homosexual agenda in the schools, and I've been looking for some clips. It's difficult to find anything that talks about that on mainstream media. I mean, a lot of the Christian news networks have it, but I found one on Fox News, and it talks about how the homosexuals are trying to get into the schools through this pretend anti-bullying message. And it's funny because it starts out with a Homer Simpson cartoon. And I had to watch this a couple times to realize what they're saying with this cartoon at the beginning. But basically what they're saying is, he says, remember the good old days when Homer Simpson taught your children anti-bullying. And what he's basically saying is what's coming is even worse than this ridiculous cartoon. It's the homosexuals themselves teaching your children sodomy in order to supposedly pretending that they're stopping bullying. But this is about 6.5 minutes. But it shows how the parents are against it. They're strongly against it. And it was basically the parents of these children versus these lobbying groups that are pro-homosexual. And the lobbying group won. And now the children are going to be subject to this training, which is actually teaching this lifestyle. And then we have John Kerry, which is, we have a few stories about this Syrian situation, but John Kerry and Chuck Hagel in congressional hearings, and John Kerry says, you know, we won't wait long. So they're not going to wait long for this situation in Syria before they act if they don't get what they want, but they're going to go in there anyway. And then we have Kerry and a Lavrov press conference, and Lavrov is Kerry's equivalent in Russia. And Lavrov says that they want to be able to find nations to pay for the peaceful solution. And you see in this phrase a lot more often, and sometimes it's translated Solution Pacifica, even in the English translations, and that's what our Spanish book has as a title down there in the South Office. And then we have the Pope says people should abide by their own conscience and they can get into heaven. And this is basically the Pope saying, as the Quran was covering, basically trust in your own heart of stone. And he's saying do what is right in your own eyes. And that's the teaching of the Catholic Church. And this woman is basically complimenting the Pope and saying how 80% of the Catholics like him. And she even goes so far as to say, because the Pope wrote a 2,500-word letter to a magazine, and she says how most long letters to magazines are angry rants, but not the Pope's. He had a 2,500-word nice letter. So they're going out of their way. It's like a directive from above to the media to always compliment the Pope on everything. It's like she couldn't think of anything else, so she said this letter was not an angry rant, so that's how great the Pope is. But watch for that. And then we have the speech by the president, and he talks about having a deeply held preference for the peaceful solution, and he says they're going to maintain their current military posture to be in a position to respond if diplomacy fails. And this war is being marketed as an appeal to the conscience, because remember, it's that same tactic the Catholics have used all along. It's to protect the children. So it goes along with what the Pope's saying about doing what your conscience says. And then we got the marketers of the war talking about how this war is going to protect the children. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Hello, everyone! Come on. Yeah, that's more like it. Come on now, really big with that. Wow. You may be seated. The feast is just 3 days away. That's a Day of Atonement, which you should be ready for. Right now, you should start getting ready for it. Right after Passover. Right after Passover, you should have been getting ready for it by that time. Atonement starts Sunday at sundown and ends Monday at sundown. Day of Atonement. You should be ready by now. The Day of Atonement, that's the day that Yahweh shows that He alone can forgive sins, and He also shows that He was making a way to take care of our sins, which was Yahshua, our Passover Lamb, of course, and who lived without sins and was able to pay for our sins. Why can't we pay for our own sins? Listen to me. Why can't we pay for our own sins? Do you know? Listen closely. We have one life, that's all. The wages of sin is death. So you've already spent that one life already with your sins. And if you don't get Yahweh through Yahshua to pay for your sins, to forgive your sins, you're going to burn in hell. Yes, you're going, even if you die, you're going to be resurrected. And you're going to be shown your sentence and why you're going to be burned. Then you will be cast into hell and burned and got rid of you, got you out of the way of those who are going to live in peace without sin. Now, no matter what this stupid, deceiving Pope brings forth, that is the way to salvation. The only way. The Day of Atonement, you should be ready for it. You should know these things, and you should know that you've got to prepare yourself to get into this kingdom. He who overcomes, remember? He who overcomes. He who repents and converts. Then their sins will be wiped out. They will be wiped out, blotted out, so you can be written in the book of life. Okay, Yisrael Hawkins publishes new prophetic word magazine explaining why sickness and disease is rampant. Now, the Pope is doing his thing. He's prophesied to deceive the world. That's his job. He's prophesied to deceive the whole world and let them go their own way. That's Yahweh's plan. And then Yahweh, after they have brought almost total destruction, four-fifths of the earth's population will be wiped out. Yes, that's his way. That's the Pope's way. Well, he's doing his job. We're doing our job. This is part of it. Yisrael Hawkins publishes new prophetic word magazine explaining why sickness and disease is rampant. You know, this right here, it may surprise some, but there's a lot of people are so eager for this right here. You remember the article? What was the name of it? The Peaceful Solution Character Education Incorporated speaks up in defense of Millie Cyruses, of all the Millie Cyruses of this world, and offers an invitation to her and everyone else that is being accused of sin by sinners. By the Pope and all the sinners. Of course, the Pope's God that he worships, he says he can forgive sin without you repenting, but he's a liar. The truth is not in him. That's what your Savior says. Now, but this article that we wrote in defense of her was taken and run by 65,000 newspapers. The second article, I read you this last week, talking about legalizing marijuana and what it will bring, that was 9-6 when that was published here. The newspapers got hold of this, and 70,000, over 70,000 news distributors put that out. So, now, that's not all. This latest one this week, which we just got through putting this out. This was published 9-13. 9-13, that was yesterday. 9-13. Overnight, this is the 14th, right? Overnight, there's been already 60,046 news outlets run this. We are doing our job. In fact, someone said they thought we were getting some kind of reading to where Yisrael Hawkins says is becoming a household word. The Pope, if you'll turn over to 2 Thessalonians, you'll see what the Pope is prophesied to do, and he's doing it, and they're listening to me right now. I know they are. They do every sermon we preach here. It goes out to all the world, and they are staying tuned in. And of course, but this in 2 Thessalonians here, it shows the prophecy of the Catholic Church. He's a deceiver. He's a lawless. He's lawless. Verse 8 says, "And then that lawless one will be revealed." We are revealing him. That's our job, as shown in Micah 4. But if you look at verse 1, you'll see the time setting here. 2 Thessalonians 2, found on page 931. 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 1. It shows you exactly the timetable we're talking about. It's Yeshua's coming. Yeshua's coming that he spoke of in Matthew 24 and says, you're going to see these things take place. The sun is going to be darkened. Sickness and disease are going to be rampant. And that's what I brought out in this article here about sickness and disease rampant at this time. And 60,000 newspapers have already run it just in a few hours. This will be going on for several days. He says, now we plead with you, brethren, concerning what? You see the time period there? Same time period as Matthew 24. The coming of the King, Yeshua Messiah, and our gathering together to Him. That's what we're doing right now. That's the reason we're preaching. We're gathering Yahweh's called, those who He's calling, and opening their minds to this understanding. We see now, and it's being made very obvious to us, Yahweh is now calling nations, not just people, but nations. Yes. You'll know what I mean very soon now. And Yahweh says they're going to come over to us. You just watch and see, He said. He's going to bring them to us. Verse 2, that you not be soon shaken in mind, nor troubled in nor be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, not by letter, as if from us, as that day of Yahweh is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there comes the falling away first. First, at this time setting right here, when this was written, 52 A.D., that was just a few years before the temple was destroyed. You remember the temple that sat on Mount Zion was destroyed. The temple that sat on Mount Zion was destroyed. Yahshua said in Matthew 24, this temple is going to be destroyed. It was a magnificent, a beautiful sight. And Yahshua said, don't put any stock in this. It's going to be destroyed. Yahshua said this temple is going to be destroyed. This, it was destroyed in 70 AD, right? 70 AD, it was destroyed by Titus. They moved all the artifacts to Rome and destroyed the temple completely and plowed the temple mound so it looked like farmland. So no one would ever know a temple stood there. Well, the apostle that wrote this 18 years before the temple was destroyed, he wrote here to you for this time period. The time period that Yeshua is going to arrive in this generation. Yeshua said in Matthew 24, remember? He said, you're going to see these things at my coming. Before I come, you're going to see all these things. And that generation that you're in, that generation you're sitting in right now, this is it. And this word is for those looking for His coming. Verse 1. So we're in this generation right now seeing the nuclear bombs that every nation is worried about right now. We're seeing all this. We're seeing the famine, the diseases that are rampant at this time. I got an article here called the amoeba, a brain-eating amoeba. It's in the water. It's in their water supply. and it's spreading. It's multiplied. Brain-eating amoeba. Starts causing confusion first and hallucinations and all this kind of stuff in your brain. You start acting like a monkey, crazy, swinging from limb to limb if you got one. Let no man deceive you. Oh, by the way, you may have noticed. You may have noticed too this week. The FDA had a law. It was like strychnine that we're seeing in the rice last week. You know, you got to limit this strychnine. You know, you can't get more than this amount. Well, they're saying, well, it's impossible now to produce rice without that amount of strychnine. So the FDA says, okay, we'll raise it a little bit for you. You can put a little bit more in the food now. Well, they did the same thing with pork feces. If you don't know what feces is, look up the word. Now, they allowed so much in the pork and the bacon and in the sausage, you know. They said, well, there ain't no way you could get all this feces off of this pork. You know, we'd be there scrubbing forever. It'd take too much time and trouble and effort and expense. And our pork would go up to where no one would buy it. So what did FDA do to solve this problem? They raised the amount of feces, allowing them to put more feces in their sausage and bacon and everything else you buy that's made of pork, which they're mixing in other foods now. Now, the Pope is the priest who eats swine's flesh, no matter how much feces is in it. That's right. And he's the priest that the world is following at this time. He's the one, they said here, let no man deceive you in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. The day of Yahshua is not going to come till the falling away takes place first. Now, from the time A.D. 70, A.D. 52, when he was writing this article, he was being persecuted. He is running in fear of his life at times. But he was ready to die for Yahshua, and he told Yahweh this several times, as we have said the same thing in our time period. Now, this was the apostle that wrote this for you so you would know what to look for next. I'm going to read you some articles here from the Pope himself showing you what this man is teaching. And just see if it disagrees with what the apostle said here in 52 A.D. This is 2014. If you want to subtract 52 from 2014, you got the date when this man started writing this article for you so you would know about Yahshua's coming in our time period, the last generation. Verse 4, this man, the son of prediction, as shown in verse 3, the son of prediction, that is, he would prophesy, he's going to be revealed according to Micah 4, verse 1 through 3, by the house of Yahweh. He's going to be revealed by the house of Yahweh in this time period, which Yahweh said would be established in this time period, in this generation. Lo and behold, here it is. As anyone can see, and it's reaching millions of people throughout the world, revealing the man of sin that brought this forth. After this time period right here, they had a surge in killing, in murder. And the Crusades lasted for years, thousands of years. And they killed and murdered everyone they could find that was keeping the laws of Yahweh, teaching it on the manuscript, anything. Yes, they killed them. Down to the very time period when Yahweh showed in Daniel that the book, the Bible, the scriptures, would be reprinted and given back to the people. It was taken away. It was taken away and kept from the world for that many years. But yet Yahweh said by those prophets, in the last days the house of Yahweh will be established. And it will teach these things that are forbidden right now. And it's here, and it's doing it. It would take pretty much of an idiot not to believe that, wouldn't it? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called gods or that is worshipped, so that he, as the Almighty, sets in, that is, judges in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the mighty one or above the gods, the Elohim. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in this set time. Well, now he is being revealed, and the set time is spoken of in Daniel by the great prophet Daniel. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work with the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who had the Roman army to back them, as Daniel said. The army stood on their part. That's what the Pope is trying to resurrect now. Armies to stand on his part. We'll read it here in just a moment. The mystery of iniquity is already working. What is iniquity? Do you know what iniquity is? Shake your head if you do. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity is doing away with the law. Daniel 7:25 said the Pope would do away with the laws. He did away with it. He kept it. He wouldn't even allow a person to own a Bible for all those years. From the time this was written, it couldn't even go out to the people. But Yahweh saw to it and made it come back and have it for his house right now. That is a true miracle. I heard that song being sung this morning by our young priest and priestess. And I tell you, I rejoice so greatly. You're going to be given that song very soon. For the mystery of iniquity is already working, but the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he is made to appear in the midst. Only then will Yahweh allow him to be shown for what he is. And then that lawless one? What is the Pope saying today? You don't have to keep the laws. You don't even have to believe. Well, the Christians have been saying all this time, you have to believe. Just believe, that's all. Well, the Pope is saying you don't have to do that either. You can be an atheist. The atheists are smarter than he is, but he says you can be an atheist, you can still come and join me. That's it. That is the Pope. I'll show you why in just a moment. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom Yahweh will remove with the breath of his mouth and make powerless with the appearance of his coming, whose coming is according to the energy of Satan, who works with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, Satan leads the Pope. She is the chief leader of the Pope, and he's going to do what she tells him to do. Malachi Martin wrote a book telling him what to do, and he's following it to a T. It's called The Keys of This Blood. And he says that the Pope, he said, Mary is going to make war against those who will not worship her. It just so occurs that Christianity is a minority religion in Syria. Would that apply? He even named them in his book. He named these Arab, Muslim, Islam nations and says Mary is going to make war against them and Mary is going to succeed. Well, of course, they had it all set up with their armies that stood on their part. There's a lot of armies that's not standing on her part. And of course, Satan is wanting them and the Pope is trying to convert them at this time. That's what you see going on with fear and dread of nuclear war. Knowing that the United States has the strongest army, nuclear-wise, there is in the world. And she can defeat any nation. The only thing she can't defeat in this war, there's too many people with too many bombs. I'll try to bring all of this out during the feast, have it set up for several to be bringing a lot of this out during the war and showing you what nations has what. And of course, they do have plans on using them. And with all deceivableness, it's not bringing the truth out, it's deceiving the nations, all of them. And other scripture says that the whole world is going to follow him, worship him. Notice deceivableness of sin. in those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth, and that they might be saved. Verse 12, in order that all those may be judged, they may be judged, sentenced, who, not having believed the truth, he says you don't even have to believe. What does this make him right here? Second Yochanan 3:4 says, he who says I know him and keeps not his laws is a liar. What does this make him right here also? In order that all those who may be judged, who not having believed the truth, but as having delighted in sin. Delighted in sin. Well, that's the Pope's job right there. The Micah, if you'll turn there to Micah, you'll see our job and what we're doing, what we're prophesied to do. And notice verse 1, Micah 4, notice verse 1 for the time period that is speaking of here. Just as we had a time period of Yahshua's coming, Yahshua gave it in Matthew 24, the last days, then he said even the last generation. This is all going to take place in this generation, right now. The house is here, sickness and disease is rampant, the nuclear bombs are here. This is all invented in my lifetime, since 1934. Look it up. If you don't believe, look up those simple things. Prove it for yourself. You got it? Micah 4. Notice verse 1. But in the last days, the last generation, as Yahshua said, we're in it right now. You really need to wake up and get these scriptures. You really need to read these for yourself. But in the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain, the promotion, which means promotion, we're being promoted right now by news medias. Yes, news medias. Picking it up and promoting the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nation. What is the chief of the nations? He tells you what nation it's going to be established in. Did you see that? We are. The United States is the chief nation of all nations today. You see these points? Isn't that simple? It will be raised. Either one of y'all, everyone here, should be able to preach this sermon tomorrow if you're paying attention. And you should bring these points. You should be able to bring these points. If I sent you to Russia, if I send you to Syria, you should be able to go there and teach the nations what I'm teaching you right now. It will be raised. What will be raised? What will be raised? Did you see that? The house of Yahweh is going to be raised above all congregations, including the Catholic Church. And you're part of it. That should intrigue you to no end. You should be rejoicing and saying, I'm so glad that I got a part to play in the work of Yahweh today. And all people will, notice, eventually flow to it. All that's left alive. That's not all that's going to flow to it. When we resurrect these people that died before us and give them the opportunity, we're going to pick people there that will serve us too, that will serve Yahweh's work throughout all eternity. Notice, and many nations will come. I said, we're just seeing this. And Yahweh is actually calling nations. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. You know, I did believe it. I could believe it. I do believe it. Because it's prophesied. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain, this promotion of Yahweh. And to the house of the father of Jacob, that's Yahweh, Yahweh the creator. And he will teach us his ways. His ways is not war. Oh, man, how did we ever get off on in this rut that we're in, where we think that if somebody hits us, we got to hit them back. If somebody strikes us with a stick, we got to get a bigger pole to hit him with. If someone shoots us with a gun, we got to get more guns, more bullets. It'll hold more bullets. How did we get in that rut? Isn't it something that Yahweh told you that this world was going to get in that rut? Until the house of Yahweh is established to say, this is not the way to peace. The Pope said he's hunting a peaceful solution. No, don't let him deceive you. He's hunting a political solution. He's saying a peaceful solution. And what he means by peace is give up your weapons, join the Catholic Church, worship Mary. That wouldn't stop wars, even when they had the so-called Holy Roman Empire. Now get this, when nothing else was in power but the Holy Roman Empire, that existed at one time. And their historians boasted about this, saying, we rule the whole world. By force, they rule the whole world. And never once had peace. Never once was there any peace established. They fought among themselves, and the popes were saying, look, stop fighting among yourselves and come with us. We got another nation over here that we can take all their wealth. Let's go get it and come and divide it among ourselves. Well, the Pope lied about that too, the popes did. They took most of the inheritance and they divided a few pennies among the soldiers. But they did pay their soldiers. They kept the soldiers working. As we're keeping the soldiers working with a $1.6 billion in Syria right now. And saying to the Assyrians, get rid of all your weapons and we'll find a peaceful solution. Well, that's their peaceful solution coming straight from the Pope. Before he said it there, he said it in Geneva, and he told the nations that are following him, the leaders of the nations that are following him, how this is going to be, how it's going to come about. Of course, Yahweh says it's going to backfire on them. He says, nothing that you're trying will succeed. And you should know where that is. Nothing that you're trying. You're going to be like groping a blind man, groping in the dark. And he will teach us his ways. Yahweh is going to teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. And what are we going to see there then? Walking in his path. Because the law of Yahweh is departing from Mount Zion to the chief of the nations, where it will go out to all the world, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the people, rebuke the strong nations afar off, and they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hook. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn what anymore. You see that? Neither will they learn war. That's what the world has learned from the day they're born. Little children come home from school and they say they're being picked on. Somebody hit them. They got a busted lip or a black eye. And the mother says, you're going to have to learn to fight back. Let's send him to karate school. Well, the next time they bring a gun and shoot to karate. You know, this is so stupid it stinks. But the world has practiced it now for 6,000 years and doesn't have sense enough yet to stop. We're the ones. We are the instrument that Yahweh is going to use to bring peace to the world. Our sword comes straight from Yahweh, straight from the mouth of the one sent, teaching teachers who's going to go out to the world, who's actually going to teach the whole world. Learning it here now, you should be able to go teach. China, Japan, Russia, Syria, anyone, you should be able to go and teach. Well, that's our job. And we're doing it. The Pope is striving to win politicians, even and now, if you noticed, I'll read you the article or some of it here in a minute. Even the atheists, he's striving to get them over. He doesn't want these men because he's offering them salvation. He's saying he's offering them salvation. He's saying the Christian God will forgive you whether you believe or not, and all you have to do is do what's pleasing in your sight, and you'll go to heaven. You know, and they think heaven is their reward. That's what they've been taught to believe. Heaven is their reward. So they're going to go to heaven. Where? They don't know. Maybe the black hole. somewhere up there. They're going to go, they think. and that's their promise. That's how little they know about the scriptures and what Yahweh actually offers. Even in the first three chapters, you know, Yahweh offers it. He tells the position, but they don't believe it. But their God, the Christian God, they're striving to win. Even the unbelieving, they're promising life eternal and which is a lie. You know, the gods can't give life. And the atheists, you know, they're smarter than the Pope, and they laugh at him. They say, if we're gods, if we're going to be gods when we die, why do we need to submit to you, a nut like you? And that's actually what they're saying. You know, they know more about the scriptures and they know more about common sense than the Pope does. Now, these are the atheists. The Pope says, when you die, you're going to become a god. That's what their teaching is. That's from early, early days of Egypt. This teaching come forth. Satan said, if you remember, chapter 3, Satan says, sin, practice sin. Wake up now. Practice sin, and you'll become like the gods. You're going to become a god. That's what everyone is teaching. Herbert Armstrong got in this rut, and he said, you're going to be born into the god family. He didn't know what he was teaching, but he thought he had the truth. Well, the whole Christian world is this way, but the others too. They worship gods. Man is a god. So when he dies, they worship him. And the atheists say, well, if I'm going to become a god when I die, I'll become a god whether I go to the Catholic Church or not then, right? If I'm going to become a god, I'm going to become a god. So why do I need to go to a nut like you? Well, of course, they have no answers for this. But this is published. This is out in print right now. Well, this is the atheist. Let me read just a little of this. I know I'm about out of time, but let me read just a little of this article. Pope Francis reaches out to atheists and agnostics. The Pope has struck a surprisingly conciliatory tone towards atheists and agnostics, saying that God will forgive them as long as they behave morally and living according to their conscience. And you can't find that in Scripture. And the only one that offers eternal life is Yahweh, who created mankind to begin with and created him for the purpose of becoming like Yahweh, giving him the opportunity to become like Yahweh and be born into the Yahweh family, the only eternal family that exists in the universe. He says, God forgives those who obey their conscience. Where do you find this in Scripture? Well, you don't. You just find it from the lies that come forth from the mouth of the Pope. And he's not winning. He didn't win any converts from this that I know of. In fact, the statistics show that nobody believes him and they think he's nothing but a liar now. But he's the reason. Why is he reaching out to these atheists this way? These atheists are strong. They're very strong. and And many of them hold positions right now that could help the Catholic Church in their cause. Well, what's their cause? They're wanting to take over the world again, to resurrect the Roman Empire. And they're making promises to these people that come join us, we'll take these nations. We'll take their wealth. The same thing that went on in the First Crusade. Hurt not the oil and the wine, and we'll take the wealth from these nations and we will divide it among ourselves. Well, this is what was so in the Roman Empire. The Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, remember, they controlled the temple, but they didn't keep the laws. And Yeshua told them that. But they had their hearts set on ruling the world and had an army to back them up. And eventually they did that. They ruled the world. But they didn't have peace. But now atheists, there's a bunch of them. And that's the reason he's reaching out to them, not with salvation. You know, they know better than this. They know the man is stupid concerning the scriptures. He's scripturally literate. And they know it. Many of them read the Bible more than he does and knows what the Bible says, but they just don't have any calling. They don't have any inspiration from Yahweh, so they can't see and prove that the scripture is actually true like the house of Yahweh can. But they are listening to the Pope and they're listening to the house of Yahweh at the same time. We're going to win them over. He's going to lose. We're proving that Yahweh is right and he is wrong. Well, God, he says God forgives. Well, what's he talking about when he says God? He's talking about Genesis 3. Look at that. He's talking about the beginning here. And saying you're going to become a god. This is the same lie that Satan taught to begin with. And the Pope, whatever she tells you to do, that's what you're going to do. See? The Pope is walking in her footsteps, Satan's footsteps. In fact, that's what Revelation shows. She gives him his seat and his great authority. The Pope does, the Satan does. And Yahweh allows this for a time and the dividing of time, up until that time. And now Satan is being shown to the world for what she is. But Satan's servant is the one they see. They don't see Satan herself. She's like Yahweh. She stays hid from the world. Notice here the serpent was very subtle, crafty. You need to learn the meaning of these words. You need to look them up in Strong's Concordance. But you need to look them up in the other books that help you too, because there's a lot of meaning behind this one. This word subtle or crafty. She's a liar. She's a liar and the truth is not in her. She lied from the beginning, but she does it in a cunning way to win converts. And as 2 Thessalonians just showed us, this Pope is very educated in this field. Satan has trained him well to take this last job that she's got to try to destroy man. She's not out to give life to anyone. She wants to destroy mankind and the earth and the heavens that Yahweh created for mankind. The heavens that are immediately connected with the earth and serve the earth and serve mankind. She wants to destroy this whole thing. This is shown in Isaiah 14. But here it's shown that the serpent, that Satan herself, that old serpent calls the devil and Satan. That's what Revelation 12:9 says. That old serpent, which we see here, Revelation 12:9, that old serpent called Satan the devil, was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field, which Yahweh had made. And he did make her. She said to the woman, has Yahweh indeed said this? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat. He put that in. It's the tree of righteousness and evil. That's in chapter 2 and verse 9 there. Righteousness and evil, you shall not mix it. You have got to be fully righteous. And that's what we should be practicing to get ready for the Day of Atonement. We should be practicing and learning this Holy Scriptures that offers us eternal life. Nor shall you touch it. Don't even get near it. Don't go out in it. If you got a job with Yahweh, stay out of the world completely, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What is the Pope saying today to the atheist? You won't die. God, he says. God, God. Well, that's the God he's talking about. But the serpent says in verse 5, notice, go ahead and do these sins, and you will be like the gods. Practice sin, and you will be like the gods. Well, the Pope is saying, God forgives those who obey their conscience. Well, he's talking about the gods now, and the gods are people who have died. They started with the pharaohs of saying the pharaohs can answer your prayers. He's going to go to heaven, and he can answer your prayers. And the elders of Israel said, hey, this is a neat trick. It wins a lot of people, you know? So let's use this same trick. So when the rabbis die, let's say they are gods. They've gone to heaven, so pray to them and they can answer your prayers. Supernaturally answer your prayers. And then they showed it on television back then. They showed this man laying on the table and one leg was shorter than the other one, and they started praying for him and his leg started growing, his foot started coming out, and it went too far, so they had to pray that it come back to the same length. It's a miracle. That's what it was. It's a miracle. A miracle, not a miracle, but a miracle. He's healed. Here's a blind man that is healed. And then when he leaves the stage and goes out, well, the news people questioned him and said, can you see now? And he, well, I could always see. I just couldn't see very well. Well, they said you were blind when you was up there on the stage. Yeah, I heard that, but I wasn't blind. Well, there's all kinds of tricks of Satan. Deceivableness of sin. 2 Thessalonians 2. Remember that. Y'all need to really study those chapters. 2 Thessalonians 1 through about 15 shows the Pope and his actions today. The Christian God forgives those who do not believe. Well, now he's saying that this is a lie then that's coming forth from Christianity. Christianity has always taught this is the daughters of the Catholic Church. That's what Revelation 17 shows them. The daughters of the harlots. They were saying all you have to do is believe. Well, now the Pope is calling them liars. They're going to be calling the Pope liars too. Most all of them can see through, or many of them can see through these lies that this man is telling. The Christian God forgives those who do not believe and do not seek faith. The Pope wrote, the question for those who do not believe in God, to follow their own conscience. Well, where do you find that? You don't find it in the Holy Scriptures. In fact, Yahweh plainly tells you in chapter 12 of Deuteronomy, if you want to write that down, Deuteronomy 12, are you with me? Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, he shows you what you must do for salvation, and he says, you must not do like you're doing here today, every man, woman, child doing what is pleasing in their sight. Now that's what Yahweh says. But Satan says, through the Pope, that just do what your conscience tells you to do. You don't have to believe. He's saying this to the non-believer. Even for a non-believer is when one goes against his own conscience. He said that the mercy of God has no limits. Oh, but don't that sound great? The mercy of God has no limits. Now, he's speaking of people who are dead and know nothing. That's what the scripture says. When you die, you know nothing. So the gods know nothing. The gods that they're praying to knows nothing. There's never been a prayer answered by the gods. I'm talking about the gods who are men who have died and are deified. They know nothing. And as Benedict said, I think God is asleep. That's what he said. These are the words coming out of the other pope's mouth. They are. They're dead and they know nothing. He said, the mercy of God has no limits and encompassed even non-believers. But his remarks failed to impress. Yes, they failed and they'll continue to fail. He's like a pope groping in the dark. He has no answers and no sensible answers. As the politicians that he leads, there's just no sensible answers for what they're doing. So they're like a bunch of people groping in the dark for answers, and everything they try, it fails, just like what they're trying in Syria right now. Now, they will take over because Yahweh shows that Israel will be expanded through that area right there. So they will take over that land. That's coming next for you. Nuclear war is coming after that. When they say they have peace or true peace, then Yahweh says comes the nuclear war. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.